Welcome back to Bruising Boxing. After an unexpected week off, as you know, 2 weeks ago, we were heading to Vegas there with Judge Jimmy James, and let's just say it did not go very well towards the end of it there, so we had to sit on the street corners for a while with a song or with a sign that said, "We'll talk boxing for dollars until we raised enough money to come back home." And then it was also Filthy Rich's birthday, so we took the week off. Unexpected week off. Happy birthday, Filthy Rich. And you could tell everybody what you did for your birthday, what discussions happened, because apparently I don't tell them right. As I already kind of introduced everybody here, I'm going to do it again. Judge Jimmy James is with me. Judge, I don't go to you first. Filthy Rich, it's your birthday. Why are you doing Filthy Rich?
So we got some things to catch up on here. LeBron James became the first player in NBA history to be in the 30,000, 10,000 club. That's 30,000 points and 10,000 rebounds for his career. Also passed Karl Malone, second all-time in scoring, and just last night became the oldest player in NBA history to record a 30-point triple-double. Speaking of old, Raider Live turned 40-something years old, too, yesterday. So happy birthday, not yesterday, a couple days ago. So happy birthday to you, too, Raider. And Yankee season has begun. I'm putting Bernie Williams up.
Jeez. Okay, well, you can tell we're a little out of practice here. I forget who goes first and who goes second, and we had to listen to the thing. And by the way, LeBron still can't beat the Timberwolves, and the Twins snipe the Yankees, which I'm sure Judge Jamesy James is going to be talking about right now. Judge Jamesy James is with us. Judge, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. You know, had a good little week off. Excited to get to talk back to boxing again. Would like to congratulate the Minnesota Twins for making the biggest free agent move I've ever seen in my entire life, picking up Carlos Correa. From the Houston Astros, 27-year-old shortstop.
MVP.
Maybe this will actually be the year we do something, but who knows? This is a Twins product. And lastly, I'd say I want to stick it to the Packers. Zadarius Smith is now a Minnesota Viking. So this one's going to hurt twice a year real bad. Eat it, Rodgers.
Especially when he says, and I quote, "I'm so happy to have a quarterback that's in there working with his receivers instead of sitting on a YouTube show talking about himself." That was a fantastic line. I can't wait to hear that. And thank you, Yankees, for taking all that salary off our hands so we could sign Correa.
Josh Donaldson, baby.
Yeah, you can have Donaldson all you want and his bad back. You can have that all you want. So that's all you. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Go Twins. We're going to win Twins. I don't know if you can play that. We're going to win Twins, but play that right over Filthy Rich's song when he's playing. Anyway, gentlemen, it's been 2 weeks. And you said, oh, by the way, you also may have noticed we have no Matty Bush this week. Matty Bush is not here. We had to sell him out here to make some of that Vegas funds back, and it's going to take a little while. But he will be back next week with his rankings. So Matty Bush, Filthy Rich, Judge Jimmy James. Drink to you. Still my sustained illusion that I was going to be rich in Vegas, which...
Happy birthday, Raider.
Hey. Thank you.
Happy birthday, fellas. Cheers, boys.
May we never play craps again. All right, on with the show. All right, Bruising News time. Since we haven't had a show in 2 weeks, a lot of news to catch up on, boys. A lot of fun things dropped in here, a lot of fun things to talk about. I can't wait to hear some of your guys' opinions on all of these. First one, we have a big fight in the 175 division, and you guys have talked for a long time that Better Biev has never been challenged. Well, he's going to be challenged now. He's fighting Joe Smith Jr. on June 18th in New York City, New York. Better Biev also leaving Russia to fight. He always fights in Russia, doesn't he, I think? But now he's fighting in New York. No? Who am I thinking of?
I don't know.
Doesn't matter. Better Biev and Joe Smith Jr. on June 18th in New York. Pretty much the battle of the 175, the best ones there, possibly, with Bivol and Canelo fighting it out on the other side of it. Gentlemen, what do you think? Filthy Rich, we'll start with you.
Yeah, this is the fight that should happen. After Joe Smith Jr. won his last fight, I think I went right to the plate and said, let's put him in the ring with Better Biev. So this timing of this is perfect. It sets up for the winner of Canelo and Bivol fights the winner of Joe Smith versus Better Biev. The gambling person in me, I'm a big gambler here. So the gambler in me says both of the favorites are going to win. And this sets up a Better Biev Canelo fight. Probably not September, May of 2023. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, it'd be next year. He's still got to fight Triple G if Triple G gets back his win here. James, what do you think about this fight here? Will the knockout streak stay alive? Because Matty Bush said about this fight that someone's getting knocked out. They say this is not going to this. It's what Matty Bush said. What do you think?
Well, we'll start. Beterbiev is a Canadian citizen. Born in Russia, Canadian citizen, hometown of Montreal.
Yeah, I don't know why I messed
that's
that
really up. I mean, he is Russian, but he's catching some flack.
You also said that he's never been tested, that we said that, but the Vosdick
that's been
fight,
said on this show.
No, he was tested with Vosdick. He whooped Vosdick, but that was a big test. That was number one in three that in that
quote
division.
Has been said on this show, but it's judge's floor. Give it to judge.
All right, James, you take it from here.
Look, this will definitely be... I thought I was going to beat him a long time ago, but we don't need to rehash that.
Yeah, we do.
We don't. Joe Smith Jr. is going to be a test. He's got a very good chin. Bivol broke it in two rounds, and he went the next 10. Now, Bivol is not Beterbiev, but Bivol is very tactician, right? He can hit you in the same spot over and over and over. So the fact that Joe Smith Jr. was able to go the distance with that type of an injury is pretty impressive. So the last fight that I saw with Beterbiev, he didn't look as great as he normally does. So I think this might be dangerous. I think it's going to be a lot closer than most people think. A lot closer than like Filthy Rich things. So I think it's going to be really good. This is definitely one that you're not going to want to miss. That's for sure. Especially at 175, you want to look at two people who are probably just going to nonstop throw punches, hard punches, and probably have a lot of action. It's going to be a good fight.
It should be a very fun fight to watch here. I knew he was Canadian too. Our Canadians is it? I don't know who I was thinking of. I still don't know who I'm thinking of. I was thinking it was Povetkin now that I was thinking of, but that's not right either because he just fought in Vegas his last fight. I don't know,
man.
When you take bleeds. 2 weeks or take a week off, it's a little hard to get.
No excuses. Bleeds, and what we don't want is this fight to be called because excessive blood. So yes, Joe Smith has a chance to win. He's never been knocked out or knocked down or anything. Maybe he's been knocked down, but he struggled with Maxim Vlasov. I think Beterbiev destroys Vlasov. So this isn't the transitional championship boxing association anyway. So you fight the guy in front of you. This will be a good fight.
It will be a fun one. No odds out on it yet. We'll talk more about it as we get closer to June 18th. And I look forward to watching that in the judges' backyard. So it'll be fun.
Me too. I'll drink to that.
That's right. All right. Next bit of news we're going to talk to here. Filthy Rich, I believe you called this one when we talked about it the first time. Jamal Charlo and Jaime Munguia were called off due to broadcast disagreements. I believe you said, let's just even see if this fight actually happens. So I got to give you props on that and sad props on it because it's not going to happen. Normally, I go back to Judge since you went first last time, but since you called this one right, I'll give it right back to you, Filthy Rich. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's not that there's not a story here. I think this is one of those things I think will get figured out, though. It looks like DAZN, I guess the PBC has said, like, they're offering DAZN, you get the broadcast rights from Mexico, where Munguia's from, and the UK broadcasting rights, where I'm not saying Eddie Hearn lives. So maybe there's something there. Then Showtime, pay per view, gets the broadcasting rights in the United States. I take that back. It doesn't matter where Eddie Hearn lives. Golden Boy is also
Golden Boy. I'm messing it up as usual.
I still think this fight can be made. If that's the only thing preventing this fight to happen, I think this fight will still happen. We might have to wait a little bit longer now, but when the money is right, they're gonna get made. This is the reason why Spence and Crawford hasn't happened. The money just isn't right. Both guys are probably looking at close to $100 million apiece, something crazy. And I believe their promoters believe that can happen. I think that's the same situation here with Charlo and Munguia. They're probably really close on the money. And now we just have the broadcasting rights are getting in the way. And something like that should not get in the way of a fight that everyone wants to see. So I think this issue will get settled. It won't be settled, you know, tomorrow night. It's going to take a while, but I actually have kind of changed my mind here. I think this fight is going to happen at some point. It's got to happen.
So So when they announce this fight is going to happen, you say, yeah, it's probably not going to happen. Let's see if it happens. Now they say that the fight's not going to happen. Filthy Rich goes, yeah, it's going to happen. Well, he's no, just going to go the direct opposite.
No, well, when the money is not right, fights right. don't happen. But it sounds like the money is right here. It's broadcasting rights are in the way. When broadcasting rights get in the way, that's an easy issue to fix. You just Showtime pay-per-views on a charge, you know, instead of $59.95, they charge $79 and James pays for it. So
yeah, I mean, who cares?
I think this will get settled. It's the money is there, and that's the most important part. All these other fights, the money's not there, then broadcasting and networks get in the way, but this doesn't seem to be the likely case.
Well, it's actually you're missing the key point. It's Jaime Munguia's fault. Why do you sign with Golden Boy? Golden Boy's terrible. Get out of Golden Boy. Golden Boy screws everything up. Just saying. Judge, I know you left a lot of pay-per-view buys on that craps table back in Nevada here, but I hope you could save a few for at least for this fight coming up this summer. What do you think of this fight coming up? Charlo Munguia, you think it's going to happen, like Filthy Rich says, or is it not going to happen? We're going to be watching the Fish House. What do you think?
Jeez, that long from now, huh? This is... just it's pretty sad. If this was honestly being stopped because PBC and Golden Boy really can't come to terms on who gets broadcasting rights in the United States, seriously, even the PBC was willing to give to Zone, like you already said, rights in Mexico and the UK. Everyone's making money on this. Everyone is making money on this. You're going to pay those fighters. Everyone's making money. If you can, the more you can broadcast over multiple networks is going to get everybody more money. It's just the way that works. If you try to funnel it, one person wants just to be the cash cow and get a whole bunch of money. Like, obviously, yep. Everyone's agreeing to EAF, but come on, man. Like, Jesus. Before it was fighters not fighting, and now it's this crap behind the scenes, and this just sucks because the Charlo boys are talking a lot of smack, and they just don't fight, with the exception of Jermell, I guess. It's just sad. I really would like to see it because these are the ones that can make people's careers and or the fights that fans want to see. This is what keeps people engaged. So it's just unfortunate. I don't know. I probably would say no. It doesn't get made at this point.
Yeah, it's who knows? Golden Boy Oscar De La Hoya has a weird way of doing things, and he has a giant ego, so he has to get paid the most. Doesn't matter how much money it is. He has to be the best. That's what it is. De La Hoya should just retire. Go away. Someone give him a bunch of coke. We can do that. There we go. All right, let's move on. Wouldn't be news until we talk about Canelo. Canelo. Hey, Canelo. No bueno. No bueno. Maybe you should start doing another commercial with Sly Stallone because Golovkin wants to know why Canelo wanted to wait 4 years to fight him again because Canelo says, this time, it's personal. I think he got that line from Stallone. What do you think there, Judge? Is it going to be a little no bueno for Canelo when he steps in the ring? What do you think of Golovkin throwing this question at him? Like, if it's personal, then why do we wait so long?
This is interesting because Golovkin is saying, if this is honestly personal, where have you been for the last 4 years? Whereas Canelo Alvarez, you know where Canelo Alvarez has been. Where have you been for the last 4 years, Triple G? To be honest, that's the question I'd be saying because Canelo has had 7 fights since he fought Triple G. Triple G has had three fights. Ain't even the same and not even on the same scale either. We're not even talking like the level at this is happening. So I'm not 100% sure. It's super weird. It's super weird to me. I don't get why he's saying that. I guess they're trying to build it up. Obviously, this could be just hype talk. I don't know why Canelo would think it's more personal now than it was a couple of years ago. And I don't know. I don't remember Golovkin ever saying anything either. So I don't know what's so personal.
What do you mean? You don't remember that great entrance? Where are you? Where are you? Where's my next opponent? Where are you?
My Triple friend.
G had to come to the ring.
He said that to Golovkin.
Yeah, I know.
So I don't
know.
It was
personal then. Where are you?
I don't know where Canelo is saying that this is now personal because of whatever Triple G is saying. So I don't know. It's
well, here's one for Canelo. It should have been personal since he beat you twice. All right. It doesn't matter what the judges said. Golovkin won both those fights. If not, one fight and one draw. Golovkin didn't lose either of those fights. So I think what Golovkin's saying is, if it's personal and you wanted to revenge your losses, why you could have called me. You could have been one of my three fights since then. So I think that's basically what he's saying, you know. That's what I think. Filthy Rich, what do you think he's saying?
Yeah, I kind of agree with maybe both of you on this. Jake threw the numbers out there. Golovkin had three fights, and they were not even caliber names that Canelo has beaten. Seven guys, you said, since that last fight. Canelo's beaten some of the biggest names in boxing, while Triple G, and yes, there was a COVID thing, and the Murata fight was postponed. There's all kinds of like little things, but you could still stay active and beat the Cerametas who are coming up to fight you. We just saw Steve Rolls fight this past week, and Steve Rolls moved up from 154 to 160 to fight Golovkin. Fight a guy at 154 who's willing to move up. I don't know what you do. I don't know who's in charge of your career. I know who's in charge of your career, but stay active. Be out there every, you know, 4 months. I mean, your career is coming to an end here. You're in the twilight of your career. Get some wins under your belt. And I think what Canelo wants is for Triple G to be a big star, because he just, I don't know if he just doesn't sell tickets or the pay-per-view buys aren't right or whatever it is, but Golovkin had a lot of time in these 4 years to build himself up even more. And it's not like he's the shining star he was leading up to that first fight. Everyone knew Canelo was ducking Golovkin, maybe because they were in different weight classes at the time. I don't know why, but I don't know if there's taking sides on this, but for four years, you could have built yourself up as a better star.
Golovkin has been saying he doesn't know what what said that made it personal. He assumes it had to do with the when Canelo got busted for the PED and the tainted meat. And then Golovkin said whatever has been said about those or was tied to those scandals, and he was the cause of those scandals. There were arguments and proof. It's not me. It's the entire world. So maybe you should be mad at the world is what he's saying, not mad at me. But hopefully that Golovkin can beat Murata coming up so we can have this fight. Otherwise, maybe he'll be fighting better Bia, or Canelo be fighting better Bia instead of earlier. Who knows? Judge, you have any final comments on that? You kind of had like a fake hand raise there a little bit. No?
No.
Bad read.
Okay.
Bad read. Moving on. Hey, you know, take a week off. You got to get them reads right back. Usually I have a guy down in the corner going,
Yeah, you do. Yeah. The hand raise. Yeah.
I don't do that.
All right. Let's move on. A little world news here. Obviously, the battle in the Ukraine is still going on. Russia's still invading Ukraine. And Lomachenko's decided he's going to stay put in the Ukraine and tells Kambosos Jr., thanks for giving me the shot at the undisputed title, but I'm going to stay and fight in Ukraine here. Kambosos says he's going to fight Devin Haney next, and he respects Lomachenko for staying there and defending his country. He says, after I wipe the floor with Haney, the real champions, you and me, will have it out when you get back. Stay safe. What do you guys think about this Lomachenko putting country in heart before himself? Pretty brave. And what do you think about the new fight of Kambosos versus Haney? Is Kambosos even going to get by Haney? And Kambosos is also retort. We'll start with you, Judge.
Well, obviously, honoring country, protecting your family, friends, everyone is takes way more precedent than any sort of job that anyone's going to have. So you have nothing but respect for Klitschko, Usyk, Lomachenko, and it's a really unfortunate situation. I really hope it stops soon. But with that being said, Haney was the one that was in the mix for this fight before. Now there is definitely nothing that's going to stop that from happening. So I'm assuming it'll probably be in Australia, probably the exact same deal. Well, not the same deal, but pretty close to the same deal that Lomachenko had before. And this is probably going to be a better fight for Kambosos that he's fighting Haney than fighting Lomachenko. Haney hasn't really shown that he's got skill, but he just doesn't have gusto or something. Like he just stop. Something panache. Happens. He and he just like, I don't know how to explain it. He just doesn't have that.
The whatever.
He looks, he looks like he has the skills. He looked like he can be effective. And then when it gets down to game time, I mean, he's obviously undefeated, but I think that was his name. The Dream might be, he might be waking up soon. As far as that goes, I don't know. If I think it's going to be a much more even fight. Obviously we got to see what Kambosos comes out with. I mean, I'm still going to give it that Haney the edge probably, just because I've seen him fight more than Kambosos. Kambosos had an impressive win against Lopez, but he's got to back that up. This is Lopez's time. This is his game to win. If he can win, if he can do another good game plan like he did against Lopez, and maybe that's it. He's just a tactician. He's going to be someone who can make the game plans and then effectively execute. If he can do that, he's probably going to do pretty well. But yeah, this is still a fight I'll watch. Not as exciting as him against Loma, though.
Oh, yeah, obviously you're a big Loma guy. We're all big Loma guys, but then Loma is one of your guys and one of our guys. But, and Kambos is one of my guys as well. I think he gets by Haney.
That's right.
Filthy Rich, Haney's one of your guys, though. So what do you think about
Jesus,
that?
Oh, Jesus, Lord, like help
Kambos
me.
Kambos and Haney.
Bless your heart. God help him. Look. First of all, props to Lomachenko doing the right thing. I don't know if he got permission to leave, but even if he got the permission to leave, he's going to stay put. Props to you. Here is someone I don't normally give props to. Here it is, the WBC. Here's props to the WBC for creating a fake belt called the Interim Championship. That belt is, I don't know who has it. I think Lomachenko was kind of had it, but then he was the franchise. This is where you create new belts at moments like this, where someone cannot defend their title. Now they should be creating an interim championship. Now, Kambosos probably is like the real title holder. I actually think Devin Haney is a real title holder. They elevated Lomachenko to the franchise title when they couldn't work things out on a fight, whether the dollars weren't there, networks. We've just talked about that. But props to the WBC for creating weird random belts. This would have been the perfect time to do it. I'm not saying you were ahead of your time, because you still don't know what you're doing. We do a better job. I think almost everyone else does a better job. Jeff Horn fought Pacquiao in Australia, and Pacquiao got robbed. It was in Australia. We know what's going to happen at this fight. I'm calling it right now. Kambos is going to win. I don't know what's going to happen, but Kambos is going to win because the fight is in Australia, and they're not going to have their hometown guy go down. Is there anything else you want me to comment on?
I just want to point out that Lomachenko did get permission to leave, and he said that he's going to stay.
Props to him.
Stay where the real fight is. So that's even brave. That's really brave. And I hope he stays safe. And do you think, I think they should put it in writing too, that if Devin Haney wins this fight, Lomachenko gets Devin Haney right away. Like, Lomachenko should get whoever wins this fight right when he's ready to fight. And if he's not ready to fight, let him have a rematch. And then he takes whoever he wants. He should be permanent number one contender. You guys agree? James nodding. Yeah.
Well,
yeah, I can get down with that.
Yeah. Because Kambosos already said he'll fight Lomachenko next when when he's back. So Haney should say the same thing. That's what I think. All right, another brave Ukrainian, Usyk. He got permission to leave the Ukraine as well to go train for the Joshua bout. And he decided he is going to go, not a lack of bravery thing. He says it's going to put more of a spotlight on his country and stuff like that. He is going to fight. He's leaving. He got clearance to leave. He's going to fight for the Anthony Joshua rematch coming up later this year. So what do you guys think about this rematch coming up? He's going to be fighting, I think it's in June. I'm not sure. But what do you guys think about this? Filthy Rich.
I think James has something to say. I'll let James take the
floor. Oh, so yeah, my reading skills aren't good.
No, so he also received clearance to leave. He has not decided yet on if he is going to leave or not. I'm pretty sure that he's not going to leave, even though his fight is in September against Joshua. So, obviously Lomas is in June, a lot sooner. Hopefully the conflict is end soon. So we won't even have to worry about this. People can get back to boxing, things they love, right? And health and happiness and everything else that doesn't involve war. But there's no way he's going to leave. He was one of the first to go back right away.
I'm just saying, this is what ESPN was reporting today at 5 o'clock. It said he's confirmed that he is coming back.
No,
that he's leaving.
Coppinger has No, Coppinger is no. That's incorrect. I don't care what Coppinger said.
Okay. Well, I'm just repeating what the news story was.
Well, they said he was going to run it back in September, but I don't know. I haven't seen anything that says he's going to actually been cleared to leave. He has the option to leave, but no, I don't. That's never going to happen. There's no way it's going to happen. So we'll have to talk about this fight probably a lot later in the year.
Yeah, I think Usyk is staying put. He got the permission like Lomachenko did. Lomachenko didn't leave. There ain't no way Usyk's going to leave. The only thing I can think of is if this money generates so much revenue that it can arm the citizens, much like Usyk can say, here's a check of, I mean, Tyson Fury's been known to do this, donate his checks. If Usyk can get a big payday that can fund the defense, the military for Ukraine, then I can see him doing that. And I can see these guys going, hey, you're one guy, you're going to go train. You're going to come back and we will be fully loaded. That I can see, but I don't see this. I don't see Usyk leaving to fight Joshua. I don't see it, but I've never been wrong. So
Fairness and Information Act. I just want to point this out to the viewers as well. I looked it up. Usyk does not need permission to leave. There's a law in the Ukraine that says if you have three children or more under the age of 18, you can leave. If you have less than that, you have to stay or get permission. Lomachenko has two kids. Usyk has three kids under 18. So the law states that he doesn't need permission to leave the Ukraine.
I saw a provisional law that says any man from the age 18 to 60 cannot leave the country. And that was mandated at the beginning of the year. 18.
If they have three or more children under 18, they can. That's what the law says.
I'll have to fact check you on that one.
Well, that's right here. You got to put it right. You want me to put it in the notes?
Well, we're on the internet and I can't read your screen, Raiders. So you go ahead and move on.
It's a boxing show.
Anyway, it is a boxing show. But I also want to say stay safe to all our champions and heroes over there. Post all over there as well. I don't think we mentioned his name earlier, but we should as well. Stay safe. Go Ukraine. Hope they beat them. That's the news this week. We got some reviews to get to and some Vegas memories, I'm sure, to get to in the next review here coming up. So stay tuned for that. Bruiser reviews time. Time to get back to a fight that we were in Vegas for, where me and James literally bet hundreds and hundreds of dollars on Mick Conlon for this fight. And obviously, we were not too happy. If you're on our Bruiser Boxing page on Facebook, you would have saw us watching it at the Circus Sportsbook, and where we had our hundreds of dollars dashed away at the last round. James, why don't you explain that whole fight to us?
Yeah, it was awesome. It was super fun watching it in Vegas. That was super awesome. We got it on the giant screen at the Circus Sportbook, up top, sat in the second level, was able to watch it without interruption. It was awesome. I really enjoyed it. The only thing I missed was having the sound, right? Being able to hear the fight as opposed to whatever nonsense was happening around us. But
we didn't get to hear if he was okay or not because we couldn't hear the sound. They wouldn't even show the knockout again. We're like, is he dead? What is going on?
All right. Well, obviously a little spoiler alert, but
yeah, a little spoiler.
So Conlon came out just like he should have, just like I thought, just like we thought, coming out strong, coming out hot, knocked Wood, dropped him in the first round. Looked like Wood did not look steady on his feet. Conlon was pressing. Conlon was hitting him. Bell after bell after bell. Just kept, moving forward, right? I mean, Conlon was pretty dominant for like the first like six rounds or so. And then Wood started coming on in the like 7th through 10th and it looked like he was turning the fight around. And, it looked like Conlon was a bit gassed. And then, I think he, Conlon kind of rocked Woods in the 10th with a hook, which looked like he was going to be back on track. Just like it was in the first round. Looked like, was probably going to get stopped. He was on the road to winning by probably a decision if he didn't knock him out. Then all of a sudden Woods came back in the 11th, knocked Conlon down, even though that he contested that it was a slip on the floor. You watched the replay. It wasn't no slip. He got hit. No. He fell. It was definitely a drop. Then about halfway through the 12th round,
Hi, James. You want me to take over? All right.
Well, take over.
We're probably going to get cut off if he's not here with us anymore.
Oh,
he is with us. Thank you, James.
Well, don't know where you stopped listening to me, but maybe I'll just have to clip that edit. But Woods then came out.
Still not back yet. Okay. Maybe.
Am I here? Can you hear me? I can hear you just fine, so I don't know what's happening.
Go ahead, James.
James fell out of the ring there a second.
So, just like in the 12th, Conlon comes out, didn't look that great. Woods came out, got him against the ropes, and hammered him with a left hook that literally dropped him like that. Conlon fell out of the ring, like completely out of the ring. If you remember Joe Smith Jr. and B-Hop, how B-Hop fell out of the ring, it was just like that. Limp, completely done. Did not know if Conlon was okay or not. They wouldn't show it. Extremely devastating, but man, I'll give props to Lee Wood because he did the he knocked Zucan out in 12. He did something similar in that fight. This guy has a lot of grit and a lot of heart, so props. Gotta give props to him, but that's pretty much how the fight went down. It was a great fight. If you can watch it, this is probably going to be a fight of the year candidate. 100%.
One of the things I found out later is the in the corner of Wood, they said, "You're losing the fight, you have to knock him out." He goes, "Okay, no problem." He goes out there and knocks him out of the ring. And I had to text Filthy Rich, actually from Vegas too. I asked him, "What is it, an automatic knockout if the guy falls out of the ring?" And you were telling me, no, they get a 20 count, apparently. They get a 20 count. I did not know that, but ref waved it off right away. Apparently it was pretty devastating at the time. And as James was saying, we're in 12 coronas in at this point, trying to figure out, is the guy dead? Because we can't hear anything. And there was nothing being updated except he's moving. I'm like, well, okay. You couldn't even find the knockout. It was weird. And I was already on my way to cash that ticket because, well, yeah, he's just got to survive this round. Stay away from him. We got this 1-1. Yeah, that was some awful sports betting out there. But Filthy Rich, what's next for Conlon and Wood?
God, like, look, let me comment on that quickly. I like how you brought up that all he had to basically do was stay away from Lee Wood. This was my problem with Terrence Crawford. When he fought like Postal, he ran away from Postal that 12th round and stuck his tongue out like, oh, I got this one. I don't need to fight anymore. And then I saw Terrence Crawford and Benavidez, who clearly had it won, Jose Benavidez, and still went in for the knockout. That was a turning point for me with Crawford. And I'm glad Conlon went toe-to-toe with this guy instead of running around the ring saying, well, I'm winning on points. So I'm glad you touched on that quickly. For Lee Wood, who is next for both guys? We'll start with Lee Wood. The next guy I have for Lee Wood is Kiko Martinez. Old guy, and has a title. So Lee Wood, you're on a streak here. That's probably your next guy. I'm not saying it's an easy win, but if we were going to collect titles in this business, that's the first title holder you go after. Leo Santa Cruz has looked vulnerable. Your second opponent could be Leo Santa Cruz, who does not look like the Leo of 3 or 4 years ago. You know, the pre-COVID, the pre-Gervonta Davis Leo Santa Cruz. Leo Santa Cruz fight probably won't happen because we already talked about PBC and DAZN getting in the way with each other, whatever it may be. But that would be a formidable opponent. Mark McSayo, another title holder who is with the PBC, but young guy, and I would dare to say probably the most challenging out of the three. I think that's the one fight I would take Mark McSayo to win against Lee Wood. As far as Mick Conlon goes, the first opponent I say is Lee Wood. You just whooped up Lee Wood. You just whooped up Lee Wood. I don't think Lee Wood wants any more of this, but I think Michael Conlon should go after Lee Wood. That would be the number one guy I go after. I think in a rematch, I think Mick Conlon wins, where in most cases rematches usually go to the guy who won the previous fight. Another guy coming off a loss to Kiko Martinez actually is Josh Warrington. I think Josh Warrington needs some spotlight. I think that's a fight that's easy to make, and I think Mick Conlon can beat Josh Warrington. Tougher fight to make. My third guy for Mick Conlon would be someone like Gary Russell, who's also coming off of a loss, but is still a relevant and a big name at that division. I think Mick Conlon can beat Gary Russell, who's on the wrong side of 30 at this point. And again, Mick Conlon showed his skills. I thought he whooped up Lee Wood. He just ran out of gas in the 12th round. But yeah, that's it. Those are three names for Lee Wood, Martinez, Santa Cruz, and Meg Sayo, and three names for Conlin, a run back with Wood, Warrington, and Gary Russell.
Much more impressive than Matty Bush's just saying, yes, run it back. That's it. So, well done. Well done. Yeah, that was a fun fight to watch. We were excited to watch that one. It was a good time. At least we had a steak dinner afterwards, which was free because we couldn't afford it after that. But yeah, it was fun. All right, next fight we got to talk about happened this last weekend. Berlanga, after starting off his career as a absolute beast, has hit some speed bumps, shall we say. But Steve Rolls, why don't you break that fight down for us, Filthy Rich?
So, look, this is not fight of the year candidate. This did not have knockout of the year written on it because there was no knockout. This did not have round of the year. This had nothing. This was
a nice nap it had on there.
This was Berlanga, who's fighting at 168, versus Steve Rolls, who's coming up from 160, making, I believe, his debut at 168. And when we talk debuts, we usually talk about a guy who has a future at this division. I don't think Steve Rolls has a future at this division. Steve Rolls got like pretty much owned almost. Well, you know, the first half of that fight, Steve Rolls did a good job of staying away from Berlanga. I wish he would have tied up Berlanga a little bit more, fought on the inside. He didn't. He seemed to, it's not running away, but he was using the ring to his advantage. Berlanga was not doing a great job of cutting off the ring. He did an okay job, but he's still a young dude. Those 16 wins with those 16 first round knockouts, I mean, it was all showcase fighters. Steve Rolls is probably the first real name he's fought in his career. And again, Steve Rolls is coming up a weight class to fight a Edgar Berlanga, who looked much bigger. I mean, he looked a couple inches bigger and just looked heavier than Steve Rolls. Steve Rolls eventually got kind of back in it into the late rounds, but it wasn't enough to beat Berlanga. This is a 10-round fight. I think Berlanga owned Steve Rolls for the most part. And he won on a unanimous decision. I don't think Berlanga's ready for like the next big challenge. I think he's still showing how young he is.
Right on. Well, what's next for Berlanga and Rolls there, Judge?
Oh, Steve Rolls, what's next?
Is there anything next for him?
Roll into retirement.
Sounds good. All right. What's next for Berlanga? It's a tough one because he's definitely hasn't looked good in his last two fights. Obviously against Caceres, looked vulnerable. He got knocked down. Blame it on a torn pec. Then he said I'm pretty sure he said he got hurt in this Rolls fight too, I believe.
The bicep, I think he said.
Yeah, I'll have to confirm that. I think that was accurate. But either way, what's next for him? There's really not going to be too much. I think he's going to fight probably one of these couple dudes, and this is going to be interesting because he's not going to take a big name fight, right? So people are out. Big names in 168, Alvarez, Benavidez, Plant, BJS. Those guys are gone. They're not, this ain't a fight for Berlanga. He's probably going to end up fighting somebody like Chudnyev or the dog, Durrell. Maybe even David Lemieux. But unfortunately, these guys probably don't want to fight him because they don't really offer him anything. Chudnyev is probably just, you know, a no-name, which is probably the closest thing he's going to get. Danny Jacobs just lost to John Ryder. Possibility, but again, what's the benefit for Jacobs or Lemieux or Durrell to fight Berlanga when he doesn't have anything to offer on that end? So I think he's probably going to end up fighting like a Chudnyov. I mean, there really isn't that. There's the bigger names in this division. I don't know who we would be able to get at this point. Because Zach Parker and Andre are already fighting. That's
sounds like he'd be fighting some nobody on one of the undercards of the big fight.
Probably. I mean, Rolls isn't a bigger name, but it was definitely a bigger name to do it. But I just don't see him fighting any of these big ones. I'd probably say something like that. Yeah. Pretty poor list.
I think he's going to go down to that point where we'll see him next year in an undercard of one of the Canelo fights or something. Be like, oh, hey, I remember Edgar Belonga. Yeah, I remember that. Remember when he was really good?
No. Just real quick, Rich. I know this was supposed to be my part of it, but do you agree with any of that stuff? Do you disagree with that? Do you think he's actually going to fight like a Lemieux or Durrell or something like that? Or is this even...
Hold on a second. Filthy Rich, do you agree with him? Do you think anything coming around there? Or do you think... Take my
Here's the thing. I think every one of them dudes you named, I think beats Berlanga. I don't think he's ready for any of them guys. I think they all make sense, though. When you're coming off a big win, you want to go after a veteran who you can hopefully catch on the downside. And like the Danny Jacobs and the Lemieux and the Durrells, those guys, they probably have no title shots in their career. And if there was a time to capitalize, it would be right now. But I still think those old savvy veterans still beat someone like Berlanga. We don't even need to mention how networks will get in the way with this. None of them guys are with ESPN or top ranks. So but I do like the guys you named. I don't know what's next for him. That's why we throw it to you, because I think you know what's next for him. I would have no idea what to do with this guy.
I don't know.
Roll 20 side say dice. That you are done with him?
Jesus.
All right, that's our reviews. We got all that PTSD of Vegas out of the way, and hopefully we can start to recover financially and mentally. But we did have a great time, did we not, James?
It was a fantastic great time.
Very, very fun time. Thanks for joining me out there. Filthy Rich, you got to come out there with us next time. It would be a good time. You know you don't gamble. You could find yourself a lot of fun in Vegas.
Yeah, sure.
Wink. All right, let's go on with the show. All right, it's time to end the show. As I said, we were in Vegas, and we wanted to come home from Vegas as rich as Amir Khan. We ended up being very poor, but I'm still as good-looking as Ryan Garcia.
Had to get one in there.
All right, Filthy Rich, why don't you bring us on home?
I forgot to mention that LeBron is leading the league in scoring, and he is probably going to win the scoring title this year. Lakers will probably still win it all, but we want to give a shout-out to some new subs on the channel here. Ian, Brandon, and Jordan. I told you I'd give a shout out if you subscribed. There's your shout out, boys. And I'll hit you guys later if you continue to watch. I'll drink to you guys.
I blew it. I wrote it and I didn't even read what I wrote. I said I want to be as rich as Amir Khan. I came home as poor as Adrian Broner. But I'm still as good looking as Ryan Garcia. I forgot the Adrian Broner part. How do I forget the Adrian Broner part?
That's criminal.
Yeah, it's two bad boys. How do I forget that?
Matty Bush.
Week off. I can't do the comedy anymore. I tell you, I just can't do it. I can't even read my own material anymore. I thought I memorized it, and then I didn't. Judge, I don't remember what I tell you to say. You say your part.
Look, if you're watching us and want to listen to us, you can check us out on any major podcast site. Just type in Bruise and Boxing. If you are listening to us and want to watch us, just go to YouTube /Bruise and Boxing. Hit subscribe. Check out the latest videos once they're uploaded. And, check out our editing. It's real fun.
Yeah, you're going to have fun with this one because, man, we are out of practice. We're going to take 1 week off and you're out of practice.
But no, I'm not.
It is what it is. It's fun. Good to be back with you, boys. Matty Bush, we'll see you next week. For Filthy Rich, Judge Jimmy James, I am Raider Live. Thank you for joining us. Tune in next week.